today on Real Radio.
The rapture will take place at an undisclosed period of time. The Bible teaches that there is no warning. Listen up, everybody. There is no warning to the rapture. There is no precursor. There is no prophecies that must be fulfilled before the rapture takes place. Thus is the doctrine of imminency.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 2, continues a series called Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences, but how do those beliefs actually stack up to Scripture? Well, this series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. In part one of this lesson, we learned that the God of the Bible has prearranged a specific timeline of events. Why would God tell us about the future event of His return? God wants us to know He's coming back because it could happen at any moment, and He wants us to be ready. God also wants us to be ready to give an answer for our faith in Christ so others can know the love of Christ as we do. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that for over 2,000 years, the Bible has been warning the world while encouraging the believer to be watchful of the day of the Lord's return. God always works out His timeline in segments, and in time, His promises are always fulfilled. And now, in his lesson called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
First things first is the fact that we're looking at this doctrine of the end time events, and we're looking at this thing called the rapture. And again, get last week's message. Now, church, listen, if you're looking at me right now, and I think you are looking at me right now, just for technical reasons, you're looking at a person who is a dispensationalist. Let me explain what that means. According to the Bible, when you read it, God works in compartments, if I can put it that way. God works in eras or phases. He declares that to be the case. And so, for example, the reason why I am a dispensational futurist means this, that I take the Bible literally, and when the Bible means something symbolically, it says so. For example, you guys all know this. You're scholars. Watch this. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, He came up out of the water, and the Bible says the Spirit of God descended upon Him. Ooh, I heard. Who said like? You did, right here. Like. Did you hear that? The Spirit of God descended upon Him like a dove. Guess what? One thing we know. A dove did not land on Jesus when He was baptized. According to accurate Bible study, when the Bible says, and the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove, it means a dove did not land on Jesus. Why? But I saw it in a movie. That was in a movie. The Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus just like a dove would land upon its perch or upon your head if it happened. The Holy Spirit came upon Him. That is symbolic language. It is viable in the Bible. It is true in the Bible, but the Bible always announces when it's symbolic. When there's an allegory in the Bible, it will tell you the allegory. The danger is that there are people who do not hold to a disciplined Bible study and they make the entire Bible allegorical. Heaven is some sort of a story. It's not real. They'll tell you that hell, that's an allegorical description of, no. You have to be very careful when you read the Bible. And so I understand from the Scripture, when I speak of dispensationalism, in light of what we're talking about, God has a very specific place for the people of Israel, the Jew. He said, though now at this time, He has set them off to the side. He has not cut them off forever. He says in the last days, He will begin to work in them and establish His promises once again. Why? Because God is a dispensationalist. During the last 2,000 years, you and I have enjoyed what is known as the church age. This is the dispensation of grace or the church. And there's a time coming when that dispensation ends. And you already know what that thing is that stops it or ends it. It's the rapture of the church. The church was born as the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost, and the church will end its ministry on earth when the Holy Spirit presents it upward unto Jesus at the rapture. Very important. God works in dispensations. The Bible tells us, for as an example, Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Here it comes. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please, or I will do my purpose, which pleases me, says God. God works in segments. And he says, look at the past. Ask yourself the question, people, was I at work? The answer, God says, is yes. Am I working now? God says, yes. And will I do a work in the future? The answer is yes. It's very simple. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God sends his word, and he accomplishes certain things at certain times throughout humanity. This is why I believe, as I do, in what is known as, jot it down if you don't know, study it, premillennial theology. I am a premillennial dispensational literalist. So, man, that's a big name. It simply means this. Are you ready? You don't have to remember all that stuff. It simply means this. I believe exactly what the Bible says. God's going to fulfill his word literally. God meant what he said what he meant, and I don't have to make anything up. Very clear. When I say premillennial, I mean what the Bible teaches. Jesus Christ will return, and he'll establish his kingdom for 1,000 years. It's called millennium. And the Bible teaches that. He will rule and reign, the Bible says, on the throne of David, which Jesus Christ has never sat upon. And the throne of David is in Jerusalem. It must be fulfilled. Those of you who attend this church, you're saying, you're boring me to death, Pastor. I already know all this stuff. I know you know this, but there is a growing threat today in so-called Christianity where people do not know these things. And that's unfortunate. I'm going to show you guys a slide right now and have you take a look at this. And let me get my pointer out here. This is what we believe here at this church. Christ's first coming to earth. Technically, the first coming, you would say, and I'm not going to bicker with you about this, you would say Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Yes, he was, but that's not technically his first coming. His first coming is on Palm Sunday when he introduces himself to the nation as the king. But we're not going to split any hairs on that. His first coming. Then you have the cross, the crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have his ascension back to heaven. You've got the descending of the Holy Spirit in this last 2,000-year age, or the church age, from Pentecost to the rapture. Very important to understand that. The rapture will take place at an undisclosed period of time. The Bible teaches that there is no warning. Listen up, everybody. There is no warning to the rapture. There is no precursor. There is no prophecies that must be fulfilled before the rapture takes place. Thus is the doctrine of imminency. Meaning, listen, it's powerful. Meaning, the Bible teaches an event that Jesus and the apostles warned the church to always be watching for, always be ready for. You don't know when it's going to happen. There's no warnings. So keep your life ready for that coming. That's completely different than the physical, bodily, second return of Christ to earth, as we'll see in a moment. You have various tribulation period events that are recorded in the Bible. A great percentage of the Bible, Old and New Testament alike, covers this area. And then you have the actual second coming of Christ, which is significant. The first coming, he presented himself as king to Israel. The second coming, he presents himself again to the church, or to who? Israel, as their king, their Messiah, their Savior. He puts an end to the battle of Armageddon, so says the Bible. Jesus judges the nations of the world. from Jerusalem upon the throne of David. The millennium begins. Those who survive the tribulation period, that is, they do not bow to the mark of the beast or the false prophet, the Antichrist, that demonic system, those who are able to pass the judgment there live into the kingdom. When Christ returns with you here, you see this big line right here? Right here? Look at that. You're going to be going this way. You'll make a 90-degree turn. And you're going to come down with him. So says Revelation chapter 19. This is premillennial theology. Why is it important? Why is it not postmillennial theology or amillennial theology? Don't raise your hand, but if you're a Catholic, you may or may not know this. If you're a Catholic, you do not believe this. You were taught amillennialism. That there is no physical bodily reign of Jesus Christ on the earth as the Bible teaches. That's amillennialism. A meaning it does not exist. That's unfortunate because it's not true. This is a literal interpretation of Scripture. And you want that, church, because when Jesus says if you believe in him, you have heaven. Don't you want that to be literal? You don't want to sit around. That's just an allegory. Well, maybe for you, but I'm not buying it. I'm going to go be with him someday. Amen. Pretty amazing stuff. Pretty exciting stuff. So the Bible tells us in Luke 21, for example, verse 28. Now, when you see these things begin to happen, speaking about end time events, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. That's the attitude of the believer. We're to always be ready to be looking up, watching, listening. Looking at events. Now, listen, I need all of you to pay close attention because I'm going to upset some people soon. I guarantee it. And I need to. I'm not doing this to be mean or funny, but you need to know this stuff. And I'm going to put you through a little test, first of all. I took out my phone this week. It was Monday. And I took this picture. I'm going to put it to you on the screen. Monday was the 15th or 16th? No, the 12th. 14th. Was it 14th? August, ladies and gentlemen, August 14th. I forget where I was at. Home Depot or Lowe's? What are those? Those are Christmas trees. Lights, bulbs, Santa. They had a giant reindeer. It's all there. August 14th. It's barely summer still. I've lived a long time. I have never seen Christmas stuff arrive this early in my life here in America. What does this mean? You guys are so capitalistic. Marketing, retail, money, income, profits, stock market. No, no. It means that Thanksgiving's coming. Does it not? See, Pastor, I don't quite get what you're talking about. You know what? In fact, this tells me there's something coming before Thanksgiving. Halloween's coming. Think it. If we're starting to see signs of Christmas, how close is Thanksgiving? If we're starting to look around at the world and see the world coming apart at the seams and begin to hint to us about things of the end time events among nations, among the environment, among global economies, among lawlessness, among Jesus said, before I come back at the end, there will be a great rise in ethnos versus ethnos. You get the word, don't you? You know Greek. Ethnicities will war to death against ethnicities, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. There'll be wars, he said, and rumors of wars right before I come back. But he said, don't panic. Look up when you begin to see these things happen. Lift up your head, he said, and be watching. We should always be watching. I just found that picture incredible because there I walked in there and I looked at that and I said, I haven't even had my Thanksgiving turkey yet. And there's the Christmas stuff. What does it mean? It means that all these other things are closer than that, and that's on display. Church, listen, what's on display in the world right now tells us that things are real close. There's other things arriving before we get to the big ugly show that, thank God, you and I are not going to be attending. We're not going to be going to that big ugly show called the 7-year tribulation period. But if we're starting to see things that smell like it and look like it and feel like it, it's not it, but those are forewarnings. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 28, the Bible says, "Now learn this parable from Lowe's or Home Depot. When the fig tree, when it shoots out its branches and they're tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer's near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near." He's talking about his return, even at the doors. For 2,000 years, Christians have had these scriptures. And the Bible has warned the world to be watching. And these very same events should encourage the Christian to look up. Church, please get that today. The world is being warned by global events. The Christian at this hour ought to be encouraged. We don't take pleasure in lunatics driving through crowds of people, maniacs shouting Allah Akbar, running people over in the name of their God. We don't delight in the fact that Nazis and white supremacists are killing each other. We don't delight in that. It's pathetic, sick, and disgusting. But you know what? Jesus said there'd be days like this. It's for us to be encouraged because we know what the Word of God says, not to lose heart. The Bible tells us, listen to this, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Are we living in the end time events or the opening throes of these events? I believe that we are. And you look around at the world. Not to panic, but to be ready. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. Paul says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." That is a profound statement, church. Mark it down in your notes. Paul is saying, when the generation gets to the very end of things and they're going to see big stuff happening, you won't need to get a letter from me telling you some really big things are happening. He says, you're going to know. Notice what he says, everybody. Be a good Bible student. Did he say, "But concerning the day and the hour, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you"? Is that what he said? No, he did not. He said, "Concerning the times and the seasons." That's non-specific. Did you know that? It's pretty cool, though. Listen up. Times and the seasons mean this. Times and seasons, local times, observable things set in seasons. The word implies the four seasons of the year. When you can feel spring coming on, you can feel that it's summertime, you can feel, sense, fall is in the air. Are you with me? You can sense that it's December. And some of those seasons have very, very clear, localized demonstrations. All four of those seasons have a very clear demonstration of the general season that it belongs into. Are you tracking? Why are you so quiet today? Right dab in the middle, for example, of winter is a series of really cold, wintry days. And then outside of that, it fluctuates. Okay, we get that. That's exactly what that verse means. Paul says, concerning the times and the seasons, it will be so obvious. No one's going to need to write you a letter or send you an email. Hey, you better be looking up. You'll be able to discern. You're going to start feeling, hey, something's up. And I would submit to you today that a lot of Christians around the world are saying exactly that. Verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians 5, "For you yourselves know perfectly," listen, "that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Now pay attention. "For when they say," you are not they. Whoever they are, you don't want to be they. Let's keep reading. "When they say peace and safety," by the way, the word in the original language means an assumed. They made it up. Does that sound like the UN? Make up peace and safety. Just make it up. Run some flyers and bullets. Put it on a bus. Let it drive around New York. Peace and safety. It's an assumed peace. It's a made up peace. Because they hope for safety. "Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape." Notice, they shall not escape. So what's interesting, if you've ever had basic logic course, by this statement, Jesus says, they shall not escape. There's an implication meaning that there are those who can escape. They don't, others will. Are you tracking? This is basic debate logic right here. Jesus is telling us something. Or Paul the Apostle, I should say, is telling us something. Verse 4, but you, in contrast to them, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, that is, be in a spiritual stupor, as others do, but let us watch and be sober, clear-minded, clear-eyed, regarding the times and the seasons. For those who sleep, sleep at night. For those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Why? Paul, why, we ask you. And then Paul answers us in verse 9. For God did not appoint us, circle the word, everybody, wrath. You need to circle the word. He did not appoint us to wrath, but to attain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, circle the word wrath for this reason. There's no other option of biblical interpretation for the word wrath except this one that you're going to get. There's no other option. The Greek word demands this to be the answer. God has not appointed us to his indignation, his judgment, his disciplining, his chastisement upon the earth, but rather he has provided a way of salvation out of it. This word in the Greek is the same word that appears in the Old Testament Hebrew for the indignation of God that is laid upon a Christ-rejecting world. Paul makes it very clear there are those who will know, discern, sense, feel the times and the seasons. That is the church, the true believer. The true believer will know. There will be others who, claiming to be a believer or not, is irrelevant. They walk in darkness. They live in darkness. They want peace and safety at any cost. They want to create, as it were, Disneyland on earth for the entire globe. Let's just have a kumbaya kind of a world. Paying no allegiance to Christ. They're living this way, self-pleasure, and the Bible says they will be deceived and the time will come upon them like a thief. Don't let anyone ever tell you at this church, wherever you go, don't let anyone ever tell you, oh, you know, the Lord's coming like a thief in the night. Don't let anyone ever tell you that about you. It may be true about the person who says it to you, but it's not true about you. Are you getting me? I'm being sarcastic right now to make a point here. He's going to come as a thief in the night to those who are not looking for him. Are you looking for him? Could that trumpet, could that shout happen today? Could that voice happen today? According to the Bible, yes. I hope it does happen today.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you've chosen to follow Christ and are eagerly awaiting his return. Who Told You About the End Times, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, as well as his plan for our lives and for the future of his church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of our Real Radio listeners like to take their walk a little bit deeper. And one of the best ways you can do that is to get the special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. If you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get his devotions sent straight to your email. So it makes it convenient. You don't have to have any reminders or anything like that. Or even better, why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions right there. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And then click right there on the Devotions tab. Get the real-life devotions from Pastor Jack and take your walk with God to an even deeper level. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new real-life TV program every Friday morning? You know, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So go check that out at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Every Friday morning, a brand new real-life TV program. It's available right there at our website. You could use our app to get there if you'd like, or go to YouTube and subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. That's every Friday morning, a brand new real-life TV program. Go check that out at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.